Welcome to the STAR Coalition podcast. I'm Luke Kramer, Executive Director of the STAR Coalition. Thanks for joining us as we sit down with thought leaders from across research and advocacy who are working tirelessly to make a difference in the lives of those living with brain disorders. We're excited to have with us today Dr. Andrei Pikhalev. He is the Vice President and Head of Global Medical Affairs for Synovion. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Pikhalev.
Glad to be here, Luke. Thank you for your invitation.
So tell us a little bit about you. Tell us a little bit about your background and kind of what brought you into the position of the head of global, the Vice President of Head of Global Medical Affairs for Synovion.
Oh, thank you for asking, Luke. Board certified in psychiatry and neurology, and before joining the industry, I've been practicing psychiatrist in the community mental health center, also had my own private practice on the side. And after joining the industry, I've been working on mental health related issues and development of the psychopharmacological compounds to treat devastating mental conditions, primarily working on schizophrenia, bipolar depression, major depressive disorder, anxiety, and other related conditions. I've been privileged to be part of very successful teams which brought to the marketplace medications which are well known to all of us. It's Abilify and Latuda, which also have been able to serve many, many patients with various conditions around the globe.
Well, obviously, you've spent your career not only working in direct care and contact with individuals that are living with mental illness, but now you're in the circles of the scientists and the researchers that are trying to move brain disorder research forward. Why do you feel that that this type of research is vital for us to be able to ultimately serve and help those individuals who are living with sometimes debilitating symptoms associated with brain disorders? Why research?
This is a very important question, Luke. Thank you for bringing this up. We all know that mental illness takes a very significant toll on our society. And unfortunately, it takes a great toll on those individuals who are suffering from it. There have been multiple research done in this area to demonstrate not only financial cost, but also emotional cost, human cost associated with mental illness. And unfortunately, we don't know enough about our brain and about these disorders to be able to find the ultimate cure. There is none available so far for any of mental conditions known to us. And this is why the ongoing research efforts in across all the fronts, in academic research, preclinical research, translational research, you know, pharmaceutical research is critically important for us to really conquer this disease and help those who are suffering from various mental disorders.
I was reading a bit from NIMH and some other advocacy organizations, and I came across a quote saying that schizophrenia is the most debilitating disease affecting mankind today. And I think that people probably don't realize that, you know, 1.1% of the world's population has a diagnosis or is able to be diagnosed with schizophrenia, and we just don't realize the impact it makes. And you're right, what a sometimes the most devastating disease that is affecting mankind. I do have a question, though. You use the term cure, and I worked with some advocates, and we talked about that. Should we be approaching schizophrenia and bipolar disorder and MDD and other mental illnesses and research, should we be saying that we are looking for a cure? And I remember one of the advocates turned to me and said, would we use any other language if we were talking about cancer research or heart disease research? Yes, I think the ultimate goal is to have individuals that are able to live a life free of symptoms, but we do have a lot of work between now and then. What are some of the obstacles that you've seen over the years, why is it that brain research, especially within mental illness, is not always seen this in the same light as maybe other indications, such as cancer and heart disease and diabetes and such?
And thank you, Luke. This question is very near dear to my heart. When I'm seeing patients in the clinic, believe it or not, the most common question which I'm getting after discussing the disease state, after making the diagnosis and prescribing the treatment, is, doctor, for how long I will have it, when the symptoms will go away, and when I will go back to my normal life. And in case of the schizophrenia, unfortunately, I cannot bring the good news to the patient, despite of anybody's best efforts to recognize and treat this condition, to provide the support, there is no guarantee that the person will go back to the previous level of functioning and that he or she will be cured from the disease. And a part of that is that, unfortunately, we do not know much about the brain yet. This disorder has been much more complicated than we thought it would be. There was a lot of hope in genetic research related to schizophrenia. A lot of time and money was spent on looking for, quote, schizophrenia gene, quote, closed, and maybe other parameters which will help it to unlock the genetic code of schizophrenia, and working on fixing those genes up front will be able to prevent this disorder or quickly treat it. Unfortunately, that didn't pan out as of today. We only learned that this is much more complicated than we hoped. There is no single gene for schizophrenia. There is no single factor which might be responsible for cause of this disorder in the particular individual. We learned that that is most likely multifactorial, all based on the very strong genetic component of this disease. But we also learned today that our medications or in treatment methods, which we are utilizing in the treatment of this devastating disease, are only controlling the symptoms, which are the final product of the disease process. They are not addressing the cause of the disease. There is some hope. There are new molecules in the front line of the research, and some of the entering the clinical research as well, which might challenge that concept. We are yet to see. And there is much more understanding of schizophrenia pathophysiological mechanisms with the development of imaging techniques and sophisticated imaging techniques. This is the disease which has to be studied across the lifespan of the individual. And our understanding of that necessity requires very significant investment in CNS research and requires time and patience to do so and ongoing commitment. This is why I applaud your efforts in support of the CNS research and raising the importance of this work across academia, industry and government and the patients and supporting communities. It's the work when everybody's hands on deck should be.
You're absolutely right. It takes the entire community, whether it be from providers, caregivers, those in research. This is a, you know, research and even looking at compounds and medications is just one piece of a much larger pie, which you're very aware of that. And so, but also looking in that, you mentioned hope, that research fundamentally exists with a foundation of hope, that there is something there. There is, as we continue our work, that we will continue to find new ways to relieve the symptoms. And that fundamental hope that sits at the base of all research will allow us to keep moving forward. Neil, you were a vital part of the STAR Coalition's National Call to Action for Mental Health Research. We worked with a great group of individuals to look at real practical ways of how can we both educate and support clinical research or even research in general, data research around mental health, whether it be supporting policy, whether it be more information and excitement around the prospect of volunteering for clinical research trials, funding of progressive medical advances within brain research. So as we kind of wrap up here, when it comes to a national call to action, tell me a bit of why is it important that we take an active role in ensuring that brain research continues to flourish as we go forward?
Well, look, I think for anybody who works in the mental health field like you and I, this is fairly evident. But unfortunately, the stigma of mental health and of these conditions is still pretty high. And raising awareness about the mental disorders, about the needs to research the disorders and need to find appropriate treatment for these conditions is the job which we all have to do, taking maybe baby steps day by day and hopefully making a significant movement forward all together. And I would like to bring the example of our current situation. We cannot close our eyes to what we're all dealing with today, this COVID pandemic. And in the midst of this pandemic, some literature started to emerge about mental health and the impact of pandemic on the various psychiatric conditions. It has been shown that over 6 to 9 months from the start of the pandemic, the number of the diagnoses made in children and adolescents, which could be classified as the mental health diagnosis, increased by 60%, unprecedented number. Just a couple of weeks ago, I've read one of the publications in Lancet, which clearly demonstrated that those who recovered from COVID might exhibit some sort of CNS condition within 6 months or later after dealing with this virus. We all heard and read different reviews indicating the higher number of cases of anxiety and depression in patients who were suffering from the virus-related disorders of being exposed to people who might have it before. And this is a huge impact overall on issues related to mental health. And in part, it highlights the importance of us having full research armamentarium available to understand the not only impact on mental conditions, on the general population health, on the issues related to COVID, but also overall in society, in our daily life. And all that needs to be researched. That needs to be researched in depth. That needs to be understood well. All needs to be communicated and explained to all parts of the society accordingly as also. So this is a huge task, and this is why there is no end to it today. Frankly, I just did a Google search with a key term, mental health research, and in half of a second, 888 million results coming up, which tells me that there is a lot of effort and information in the world related to the importance of the mental health research. And what you're doing with your call to action is very important step in the right direction.
Well, I just want to reiterate the fact that the entire conversation, it's a beautiful thing to listen to someone like you who holds a very high, prestigious, and respected position in our research industry to talk directly about the patients, to talk directly about the individuals who are ultimately going to benefit from all the work that we're doing. And so first, I want to thank you for your dedication in this space, Dr. Pikalov. I also want to thank Synovion for continuing to invest in an area that sometimes is very complicated. There's overall, there may be a very low success rate with new compounds that are coming through, and the cost is very high. But you guys have been dedicated to this space, and you're celebrating 10 years this year as well. So, you know, we just hope for the next 10 years that you and your organization continue to help individuals living with brain disorders. I just want to thank you for your dedication in this space.
Thank you, Luke, and I applaud your efforts as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I thank you again, Dr. Andre Pikalov, for joining us. Dr. Pikalov is the Vice President and Head of Global Medical Affairs for Synovion Pharmaceuticals. You can learn more about Synovion and the incredible work that they're doing in a lot of different areas at www.synovion.us, as synovion.us. Also, to learn more about our national call to action for clinical research, please visit us, the STAR Coalition, on the web at thestar.org, thestarr.org. And thank you guys, the listeners, for supporting the work that we're doing at the STAR Coalition as we continue to bring together the greatest minds in central nervous system research and advocacy as we work together with individuals like Dr. Pikalov and others to shape the future of brain research. Again, be sure to follow us on social media. Check out our website again at thestar.org, and we will see you soon. Thank you.